Blog Talk Radio.
Fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
This summer sizzles on GoPro Radio Network with hot new shows and cool personalities. Every Wednesday live from 4 to 5 p.m. is the Nerdy Girl Wellness Hour with Amelie Lamont. From 5 to 6 p.m. is the BCF Experience. History, art, culture, politics in review, and discussion with Byron C. Saunders. From 6 to 7 p.m. it's Worldwide with Deshaun Farag. From 7 to 8 p.m. it's the Earl Morgan Hour with Earl Morgan. From 8 to 9 p.m. it's Kate Thompson Live with Kate Thompson and Eric Payne. From 10 to 11 p.m. it's the Sexy Party Show with Mr. Lucario, Miles Cunningham, and Anita G. From 11 to 11:30, it's the Black Agenda Report with Glenn Ford. Black Agenda TV Express brings you news, commentary, and analysis from the Black Left. Listen to the fastest-growing network in the galaxy. Visit www.goproradio.com. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
We are an amazing people, rooted in Africa, the cradle of human civilization. Descendant of the awesome men and women who made a way out of no way. People steeped in the values of truth, justice, respect, harmony, balance, reciprocity, and order. But 400 years of enslavement, Jim Crow, and racism, fueled by the lie of black inferiority, have taken their toll. The result? Too much pain, too much hurt, too much loss. We owe our ancestors, ourselves, and our children so much more than this. Join the movement for emotional emancipation, healing, and wellness for black people. Go to communityhealingnet.org and take the pledge to defy the lie and embrace the truth. That's communityhealingnet.org. Our children and our ancestors are waiting.
Hey, papi, you know what I heard about this sexy radio show that they got? They got, like, this thing called GoPro Radio on the screen. And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't have to pay for nothing. Like, I get online and I listen. I can listen to, like stuff about politics on the same radio show. I can hear sexy stuff. Oh, my God, you know? But, you know, everything that I do, I like to do it for free. And I'm going to do this. GoProRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed on GoPro Radio Network shows are solely those of the speakers and are not necessarily the views or opinions of GoPro Radio Network, Inc. or its affiliates. These broadcasts are provided on the understanding that they do not constitute professional advice or services. Individuals who speak on these broadcasts express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. GoPro Radio Network and its affiliates do not necessarily endorse or oppose any particular opinion or conclusion discussed in these broadcasts. You may not edit or modify or redistribute these broadcasts in any way without the express permission from GoPro Radio, LLC. GoPro Radio assumes no liability for any of your activities in connection with our broadcasts or for your use of these broadcasts in connection with your website, computer, smartphone, tablet, iPad, or future listening devices. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Just remember when you lose opportunities, God opens other doors. Discover your divine purpose. Once the sun shines, you know the time was worth it. Nobody's perfect, I ascertain. We gotta keep working through this acid rain. And once the weather changes, you find yourself on together. No longer will your endeavors lead to anguish. These are the strangest times of my life. You see me, I was believing that I found me a wife. But then she was just a figment of my imagination. And now we happen to chat, but there's these lacerations around my heart. She started drowning from emotions. When we started, the best of my love and devotion is what we needed. My own transformation was yet to be completed. She's a water sign, a wishing well had depleted. I see getting older, gotta prepare for more than breastfeeding in a stroller. It's carrying over into my profession. See, music is my passion, control the obsession. It's a heartfelt confession. Well, you won't make my heart melt, acting like I'm your possession. A blessing in disguise, I survived many tides and ocean currents. Knowing that a better me will bloom soon coming. I wonder if a tune from a trumpet could make it all come together, hunting. All these demons I'm confronting, I'm uptight like an upright base. Avoiding rock bottom, making me discombobulate. And this is probably hate.
If you heard what I was thinking, I know you've been an incredible woman, but your respect for me has been shrinking. What happens to the morals? What happens to the
Because our next generation and almost every nation on earth is in the hands of our competitors and as well as our enemies. Culture maintains the group's historical consciousness. It can only maintain your historical consciousness if you have access to see history to yourself. Culture is the education and spiritual system, i.e. the socializing instrument.
Okay, we are on. We are on. I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live. Boy, were we caught in a little flash flood on the way here to the studio. But we're here now, and we're ready to talk to Dr. James Small. We're going to see if he is on the air right now, because of this, we're involved in a very extraordinary presentation tonight. Dr. Small, are you there? Is Dr. Small on the phone?
With efforts to evolve in more than life.
Dr.
Suitable
Small.
To its environment, and any modification in that environment demands a corresponding modification in the culture.
Yes.
Culture is the means by which people protect themselves from genocide.
Dr. Small, hello, are you there?
Hi, Sister Thompson. Sister Kate Thompson is on the line. I was trying to bring you in on the conversation earlier. So I'm going to read this definition of culture again. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Go right ahead. Yeah.
So I'm talking about culture. The last part of a definition of culture is culture is the expression of a people's effort to evolve a mode of life suitable to its environment, and any modification in the environment demands corresponding modification in the culture. And that's where we have failed dramatically, that when we got captured and brought into slavery, when we were attacked culturally at home, we did not modify our culture to meet the new demands that this new environment of hostility had brought upon us. We tried to fit into their mode instead of evolving a mode of our own. For culture is the means by which the people protect themselves from genocide. We've suffered genocide over the last 500 years because we didn't maintain our culture as a part of that protection. And so we know that part of the problem is the consciousness, and consciousness, we need to understand the meaning. It's to be immediately aware of while mentally recognizing to some degree and extent one's own inner feeling and thought, or their objective reference. Consciousness, to be mentally alert, well aware of some object, impression, or truth. Consciousness, the power of self-knowledge, internal perception. Consciousness is a product of direct and convincing knowledge, whether of external or internal objects. So we must be conscious if we're going to understand how to, again, create a spirituality that makes sense. We keep using this word spirituality, and if you look at the black communities around America, even those of us who are in the so-called struggle or in the conscious community, our children have gone to pot for the most part. Most of us have not even been able to save our own children because we have not been able to create a systemic association with other Africans in order to build the kinds of cultural institutions that will protect our spiritual core so that we could transmit this to our children in a safe and orderly way. And so we get to spirituality, and that's the spirituality is reality. It is being conscious of the moment you are living in, being guided by the wisdom of our collective ancestors and the divine laws of nature. If anyone can prove to me that the laws of nature is not the same law that the ancestors called the laws of God, I will start by kissing their feet and working my way up. Our ancestors knew the laws of nature. They studied it. And that is what they call the divine laws. People, that's what we call the laws of physics today. So we need to come out of the darkness into the light. We need to listen to our ancestors deeply. And don't confuse a particular ritual from 500 years ago with the understanding that the ritual was trying to express 500 years ago. Because what that ritual was trying to express 500 years ago still needs to be expressed today. But maybe we need new rituals to express them because we need new signs and symbols that this generation understands. Because they certainly don't understand the signs and symbols of last year, let alone 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago. So we really need to not get stuck in time, but to check ourselves. And I raised that because after the first class, someone came on the Internet and over again talking about how Shango is real and Shango is alive. Well, I never said Shango wasn't real or he wasn't alive. But Shango is not a man running around with an axe with a piece of red cloth on. That's a mythical symbol somebody drew on a piece of paper. And you're not going to confuse me to accept that as reality. I need to understand what is the mythical symbol representing. What does the axe represent? What does the red cloth represent? What does this man with such virility represent? And then I can teach that to the child. But I can't confuse some anthropomorphism representation. It's like the Christ. You see some Christ who's blonde, some brunette, some brown-haired, some have short beard, some have long beard, blue eyes, some have round face, long face, flat nose. Are all of them Jesus? Or are they simply anthropomorphic representations of a concept, an idea of this notion of what a Christ or deliverer is supposed to be? You know? It says the line is now unmuted. I didn't want it to be unmuted, but let's keep going. Spirituality is a systematic understanding of our relationship to the Creator and creation. Mm-hmm. Deriving from our ancestors' observation, examination, contemplation, and the study of the universe, the immediate environment, and ecology. Isn't it again? Spirituality is a systematic understanding of our relationship to the Creator and creation, deriving from our ancestors' observation, examination, contemplation, and the study of the universe, the study of the immediate environment and ecology. Spirituality occurs when one is conscious of the immediate reality and is actively involved in it, actively involved in that immediate reality. Meaning, if you live in a community and you are not a part of the political organizations in that community, you're not being a spiritual person. If you live in a community, you have children in the school, and you're not on the school board or at the PTA meeting, you're not being a spiritual person. If you live in an environment, if you live in a community, and you're not addressing the hygiene in that community, the safety in that community, the protection of the youth and the women in that community, you can't then say you are talking about spirituality, because spirituality says all of those things must be active as a part of your daily reality in order for you to say that you are spiritual. Spirituality in its fullness is being conscious of and actively involved in your second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year reality. Spirituality is being communal, spirituality is being collective, and spirituality is being cooperative with your neighbors and those who you reside with in the same environment and ecology.
So, Professor Smallwood,
yes, go ahead.
While you're teaching your course here, we enjoy it here. I have a question on what you're saying when you talk about your spirituality. So your spirituality is really understanding your connection to your larger world from all those perspectives, if I'm following you correctly, correct?
Right. It's not something apart. Spirituality involves your total reality and your involvement in that total reality. What we've been reduced to is thinking spirituality is an event we have if we're Muslims on a Friday at a Juma, on a Sunday at church, or if we are Hebrew on a Saturday at Shabbat. But that's not spirituality. That's religion. Religion is a tool of spirituality. You know, it allows you to explain some of your spiritual concepts and ideas to yourself in a kind of a meditative environment. But spirituality is your reality. It is everything that your life is involved with. It is the resulting condition, habits, practice, principles, concepts, ideas, and rituals that inform the culture that instructs the societies that Africans build. This body of knowledge that informs the culture that instructs the society is derived from being instructed and informed by our ancestors. That means you must know your history from your perspective. And the divine laws of nature. We must understand the laws of nature. We must understand basic science. We must understand basic physics. We must have a general understanding of mathematics. That's why you create school systems. We created school systems as an expanded way of teaching these fundamentals. But now we think the school system is something separate from your reality. It is, of course, God, the creator, and creation itself that are our original and primary ancestors. Thus, we are always aware of the fact that we are beings having the human experience, that we are God having the human experience. If in the beginning nothing existed but God, then anything else that came into existence out of that existence.
Dr.
That means you're an extension of that. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, this is Kay Thompson. Can I interrupt you for...
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm promising that
I want to tell our listeners now, because this is a first-time experience, and I'm sorry we have to interrupt you. You know, at this time, we were just a little late, so forgive us. But I want to tell everybody, all our listeners here on Kay Thompson Live, that this is the first time ever that this is happening. We are involved with a course being taught by Dr. James Small, and he is... from the professor of African studies at CCNY, and he is teaching his class. So as he is teaching his class, we are involved with it. So I'm sorry that we came up just a little bit late, but it sounds very, very exciting. Is there going to be a point where we can ask some questions also? Because this sounds very, very exciting.
Yes, ma'am. We are going to get to the question and answer, and I want to tell the class that Sister Thompson is an extraordinary journalist, and she had heard about the course and from Dr. Leonard Jeffries and wanted to be involved and see if that we could put this course on their radio show and have it broadcast live around the world. Mm-hmm. So while we are having this teaching experience, we are reaching out to many, many other brothers and sisters around Africa, around Asia, around the Caribbean and other parts of the United States this evening. So that's where we are, and we said we would allow this to happen tonight. This is a kind of experiment, and it's not something that I'm doing just for me to be doing this. I would love to see in a few months that thousands of us are doing this.
Yes.
This is the way that we can reach our people and this is the way that we can serve ourselves with this information, let's take advantage of the tool. The technology is here. The tool is here. As you can see earlier tonight, I'm just learning how to use it myself. But at least we did get going after about a 10-minute there trying to get all the pieces together.
We're thrilled that you are allowing this to happen because it's really it's brand new and it's exciting and it's new programming. And we are talking to the Dr. James Small. I've known him for a long time. And you are a priest in the Yoruba spiritual system, and you're also a priest of Oya. And right now I know that we're going to be talking about either this time or another time about the Yoruba culture and the spiritual importance of voodoo. And there's some questions that we want to talk about to you, but I just want to say thank you to you and thank you for your sister,
your students,
because this is a very extraordinary situation here with us being on the radio here at Kate Thompson Live at GoPro Radio. Yes, we are being heard globally. So if you have people in Africa or in the Caribbean or Asia or South America, we can talk to them. And it's very, very exciting. So we really thank you for allowing us to do this. And thanks to the students also for being a part of this. It is extraordinary, especially with special media. And
yes,
I'm here with my son, Eric. Eric is here. Wayne,
how are you, Eric? I haven't seen Eric since he was a little boy, and I haven't seen Wayne for almost a decade and a half now. So it's good to have these spirits here. You're very powerful spirits in the media that help educate our people while you were working at LIB.
Yes.
And be so glad that you have your own medium now that's reaching out around the world.
It's unique. It's a new and unique here at GoPro Radio, and we're on, as you know, Wednesdays 8 until 9. So in order for us, to get in on your program, it's so unusual. It's extraordinary. It's just exciting.
It's the
relationship. So we can do this again, and we expect to be doing it again with you and with Dr. This is so silly. I can't even remember his name right now.
Yes,
but anyway,
Dr. Jeffries will come
Dr.
in.
Dr. Lenjen, yes, right. So, continue on because Wayne will be here shortly,
yes,
and that's a lot to ask you also. So I'm going to just
all
get back to listen.
Okay, so we were talking about spirituality. We talked about religion as a tool of spirituality. Now, spirituality isn't something opposed to religion. They have a partnership. We run into trouble when we think there's something wrong with religion, and that's different from spirituality. No, spirituality is the greater system, and religion is a tool in that system, a major tool in how that system expresses itself. And so religion, which is a tool of spirituality, the word religion comes from the Greek, R-E, to go back or do over, and ligio, to bind. Religion means to bind back. A religious system should bind a people or a person back to the wisdom, the worldview or culture of their ancestors, and should bring about a belief binding the spiritual nature of a person or group to a supernatural or divine being, as involve a feeling of dependency and responsibility, together with the feeling and practice which naturally flow from such a belief. Religion includes worship or the reverence of a human spirit for the divine, seeking outward expression. The way our ancestors taught us was that God is in you. Even the word education means to bring something from the inside out, not put something from the outside in. And yet, the system they've developed is constantly trying to put something from the outside in, when what they should do is create the tools in the person's mind that would bring something from the inside out.
Okay.
And so when we think of African culture, when we think of African spirituality, we have to think of the beginning, the very genesis of reality. And so that's why I talk about this little piece I put in here called the genes, the DNA of God, the divine. Ancestors are our pedigree. You learn your pedigree from your history. God is your original ancestor. A people define themselves by referring to their origin. We are the best of our ancestors' genes. We are the latest version of our ancestors. We are the highest tech version of our ancestors. Our children are the best of our genes, the latest version, and the highest tech model.
We have been joined by or with Wayne Gilman. So say hello to Dr. James Small. You know,
hi, good evening.
How are you doing, by the way? Good evening,
well,
sir.
Welcome. How have you been?
Good. I've been good. I was just telling Kay it's been a while since we've seen each other.
Right.
So it's a blessing. A blessing to hear your voice and to know you still doing this work and still trying to educate our people. And we really appreciate you allowing us to broadcast over your network to the entire world tonight. We know we're all kind of experimenting, but we're going to make the experiment work.
We're honored
here. And I ask my students again to kind of bear with us with the technology, but we're trying to do something very new, and we hope in the process we'll accomplish our mission on both ends.
They are involved in brand new in programming. It's extraordinary. And we thank you so much, Dr. Small, for allowing us, you know, to talk to your students, you know, and have you on the radio at the same time. So not only do your students get the benefit of your knowledge, but, you know, across the globe. And this is absolutely wonderful. So we'll have to do this again.
Yeah.
So it is a new kind of program. Isn't it wonderful? So we're going to have to be taking a break in a minute, and then we'll take the break, and we'll come right back to you. So you need not stop. We will just be there.
Yes, ma'am. We're going to keep going.
Okay.
So thank you again.
Okay. We're listening.
Right.
Okay.
So we're about expression, and this part is important, students. We are blessed.
Fastest growing network
galaxy. An aspect of the divine essence having this human experience. And this one is important. If you grasp this, you really grasp the entire African spiritual system. Everything else is detailed. If you really get this
radio network with hot new shows and cool personalities.
So we are the expression of aspects of the divine essence having the human experience.
The BCF experience, history,
art,
politics, interviews, discussion, by a few vendors. From BCF worldwide with the Sean Poe, from 7 to 8, from 8 to 9, Thompson Live with Kate Thompson and Eric
Keene. And 11 p.m., Buddy Schiff,
Al Cunningham,
and how to use that knowledge.
30, it's the Black Agenda Report with Ben Ford. Black Agenda TV news, commentary, and analysis. Listen to the fastest growing
expression of an aspect of the divine having a human experience and what that means.
And
then at the same time, use that knowledge in order to provide food, clothing, shelter, safety, and security, in order to build a culture that will allow us to protect one another.
Great.
One another, embrace one another, enjoy one another, learn from one another, and teach others the goodness that we know. That's what this whole thing is about. It's not about hating nobody. It's not about destroying the next group because they don't know what you know. That's silliness. Anyone that does that, it says you are not enlightened. It says you are not conscious. You're not of a higher consciousness. We're about trying to get rid of hate. We're trying to get rid of violence. We're trying to build a secure, balanced human being based on what we call righteousness and what we call ma'at. And so it's for us to really, truly believe that it's possible. We can on some days go to a prayer and talk about ma'at, sing African songs, and then come back out in the world and use the same quality, the same attitude, and the same mood that the things that are destroying the world have in order to get along. We're going to be changing. We're going to have to change ourselves. We're going to have to try to change those around us.
How to hear his
and the way you change those around us is be the self that you have become.
That becomes
an example and a model.
So talking about
it's like light coming into darkness. No matter how dark it is or how tiny the light is, if you put a light in a dark space, it changes the dynamic of
the spiritual importance.
We must know that we are serious.
It's time stuff. It's not.
It
is serious. And also,
small light represent an aspect of the personality or the essence of the great light, the divine. Yes, we are all expressions of aspect of the divine essence having this human experience. And so we have to truly appreciate that if we're going to be able to move forward. We are but expressions of aspect of the divine essence having the human experience. The four gates by which God, power, passes into the material via humans is right thinking, right speech, right feeling, right action. And these four items we get from G.M. James's book, Stolen Legacy. And he gets it from the mystery system of the ancient Africans of the Nile Valley. Right thinking, right speech, right feeling, right action. God expresses himself in this world through the six kingdoms. God expresses itself in this world through the six kingdoms. The mineral kingdom, that's coal and diamonds and gold and cobalt and that sort of thing. The vegetable kingdom, that's the collard greens and the cabbage and the carrots and the lettuce and the tomato and the avocado and so forth. The animal kingdom, that's the sheep and the goat and the cattle and so forth. The human kingdom, that's us, the troublemakers on earth. The insect kingdom, the bumblebee, the butterfly, the mosquito, the fowl or bird kingdom, that's the sparrow, that's the dove, that's the falcon, that's the eagle. The marine kingdom, that's the fish, that's the calamari, that's the clam, you know, that's the oysters. All of these kingdoms is a way the divine expresses itself in this ecology that we call our world. And if we pay attention to this expression, we can learn from all of these kingdoms. And that's what our ancestors did. And people call us animists because we talk to trees and bushes and animals and fishes and birds, and we share our world and our values with them. And we treat them as though they are brothers and our sisters, and we hold them up as symbols of God the divine itself. Because without these kingdoms, providing us with the food, without these kingdoms providing us with the shelter, without these kingdoms providing us with the very nutrients that keep our bodies going, without these kingdoms providing us with the ecology that we live in that's habitable, we wouldn't be here. And so our ancestors saw these kingdoms and all that comes out of these kingdoms as being in partnership with us in the running of the world. Africans see God as a totality of creation. That is every and all things at once. The Ewe people of Togo call this Dogbelisa, or Vudu Dazi, the essence of God and man. Every African
going to be leaving
culture or
James
civilization.
Back into
yes, ma'am, I'll put it this way. Every culture had a way of explaining God to themselves, and all of them
are God
as a totality of creation.
Essence. I really wanted to talk to him about, you know, he was going to be talking about the Yoruba culture and also the spiritual of the
We'll be getting to that in a few seconds.
You know, this is amazing stuff, you know.
Hold on.
Practice. I mean, it's still practiced, to, from what I understand, in the Caribbean. Not widely, but like in
I'm showing this pantheon, this photograph, and I forgot whose brother. I think because we told him we would announce who it is.
It's the way how
joined the pantheons of the deities, the different gods, of Yemenja, Apollo Kun, Obatala, Oshun, Oba, Ori, Oko, Oya, Ramila, Shango, Ochosi, Osanian.
Right.
These are all different symbols.
You know,
even because I'm afraid of flying.
Well, that makes
these
two.
Are symbols concepts, ideas, and principles that is operative in nature. Not just operative in nature. Every one of these orishas,
on the internet,
every set of symbols, concepts, and ideas they represent. Because they don't just represent one thing. They represent multiple things, multiple aspects.
How
nature works. Every one of these orishas is represented in our body. It's represented in our mind. It's represented in nature. And so what we should be trying to do is to grasp an understanding of these orishas so that we can learn to recognize them in nature and recognize them in ourselves. And then learn how to use that wisdom to better ourselves, our family, and our society.
It was the European countries or another part of the world, and they came to Africa.
Wow.
Okay?
Mm.
And the people who were in Africa were black people.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, there was also a portion of the book
so
where they talked about
looking at this particular
and with
display
one
or presentation of a concept. It's called a Batala.
I don't know.
Right.
This is my brother Wendell Wiggins, and it is a beautiful presentation. So we're looking at Obatala,
like
the creator of human form,
Elka
of the Orisha.
He was the first
phenomena that the divine
and then with Africa
forth out of itself.
Hence the people
with Africa.
England
is a metaphor of something that he was sent first
by
God to the earth to create the world.
United States
and he did a good job. He got things started.
Yeah.
From Africa. From Africa, not the
state. There's some palm wine there. Some palm trees had to be there first, and someone figured out how to get the palm wine from the palm trees. And so this is what Akinjoban is saying, is that if the Yoruba can come up in their metaphor
with
the story of Obatala drinking palm wine, then the Yoruba had to have bumped into a people that already had this technology. Because his drinking this palm wine in the metaphor says that he got drunk, and so he was unable to form man.
He created people who were deformed and had physical challenges.
So we said the handicapped today are the children of Obatala. Now that's a metaphor trying to explain something to us, and the something is what we need to grasp. We need to get an understanding. What were the ancestors trying to explain to us with the story of Obatala,
the
creator of human form?
They,
and so in the story, you know, we hear that Oduduwa came down and replaced Shango because Shango got drunk and couldn't finish the work. And so Oduduwa came down and I think he brought with him, and the metaphor differs depending on which community you're in, but he brought with him a chicken or what they call a cock, and he brought with him a chameleon, and he brought some iron, and he brought some earth, and he put the cock on the earth, and the chicken was able to gather this around and create land and separate the oceans by putting earth there, and thus creating a habitable place where we could walk down on the planet Earth.
Hundreds of years.
That is the story of creation. With this tiny aspect of the story of creation in the Yoruba theology, but it is real enough
to identify with it. Ironically,
it's real enough for the people who believe in the tradition, in order to help guide them to understand how we came into being.
And Dr. Van Sertima
talked about that.
Obatala goes to Oduduwa, even though we don't see Oduduwa presented as one of the Orishas.
Yeah.
as much importance as the founder of the Yoruba nation and the establisher of Ila Ife. Ila Ife, it says he comes down from the sky. And so that itself is a metaphor. He comes down from the sky and he establishes this community. But we understand also that he...
surprised at me. I have
I'm trying to find the best word. When he comes, if Obatala is drinking palm wine, it means the people that Oduduwa meet there have already established a civilization. So that's what Professor Akinjoban is saying. So we have to learn how to separate the myth.
But that was
there is a history here, an extraordinary history here. And that history is being recorded by our people in Nigeria for decades upon decades now. And yet there is a theology and the metaphor and the folklore and the spiritual culture that is wrapped around that history. And we have to know the difference between the two things and how to use both things. And so that's why it's important that we learn our ancestors' stories and learn their spiritual tradition and learn what they've been trying to tell us about these spiritual systems and these forces of nature that we call Orishas or Loas or Bosuns or Neches. They're trying to explain something to us. So I'm going to just look at maybe about 7 or 8 of what we call Orishas. And then I'll go through them, and then I'll give a more metaphorical discussion of them.
Cool personality.
Now, this second one is called Eligma.
The Nerdy Girl Wellness, our Amelie Lamont.
It's a messenger of the Orishas.
Yes, experience.
He's a guardian of the crossroads.
Culture.
What does that mean, generally? What they say is that he carries the messages between Orishas and Orishas, and between the Orishas and back to the divine. Olutumari or Olarun, which is another way of expressing the word God. There's not multiple gods. They're different.
And Anita G. From 11 to
11. Olarun, we said the God that inhabits heaven. We said Olutumari, we talk about the Almighty Creator of all things.
Scoring Network. www.gopro.com.
And see, it's simple to represent the concepts and ideas. So, Ligma, which represents the messenger that carries the message between the divine and the source of nature or the Orishas. Guardian of the cosmos,
the cradle of human civilization, descendant of the awesome man and woman who made a way out of no people, steeped in the values of truth, justice, respect, harmony, balance, reciprocity, and order. But 400 years of enslavement, Jim Crow and racism, fueled by the lie of black inferiority, have taken their toll. The result? Too much pain, too much hurt, too much loss. We owe our ancestors, ourselves, and our children so much more than for emotional healing and wellness for black people, community and humanity.
That would tell you what steps
to defy the lie,
what direction to
the truth.
That
what
we think we may refer to it as intuition sometimes.
And
but there's times that we had a place in our lives, we had a place in our minds where we don't know what to do or where to go next. And so there's a whole school of thought around that. We might call that today psychometry in the Western world. So when we think of a Eligma, It has more aspects than that. Then we have a local.
It's aired and watched.
Some people express a locoon as a female, and some express a locoon as a male. We know that a locoon is
thinking of.
That aspect of the water where sunlight don't penetrate.
It's
that aspect of the ocean or the sea where photosynthesis doesn't take place. And we know that science tells us today that life begun at those depths and made its way up out of the water onto land. And so when we think of a locoon, we think of that aspect of creation and formation that produces the essence of life that will come to the surface and pass through what we call Yemajah. This is another representation of a locoon as a man. So these are just symbols that human beings create to symbolize what they're talking about. This is another representation of a locoon, a giant statue of a locoon placed in the main roundabout. That's the street, you know, for those who don't know what a roundabout is, it's where four streets come together, and then circles, the British came up with that. So there's this giant statue that's there symbolizing a locoon. Now, locoon again, and this photo that you're looking at now, this is a dance, a ritual being done. In celebration of a locoon. But a locoon is that aspect of the water where life is produced, almost like the sperm being ejected from that place where sunlight don't penetrate into the aspect of the waters where sunlight penetrates, which is called Yemoja. The symbolic representation of Yemoja is mother of water and nurture. And so it is Yemoja that would, out of Yemoja, out of her womb, these life forms would call up on Earth and become the living forms that we know today. So we look at Yemoja, which is our mother, our great mother of the waters, and the nurturer, the symbolically nurturer of human beings on this Earth. And then we go to the great Oshun. Oshun is a symbol of sensuality, of fine art, and humanity, love, and of beauty. And I think the last time I told a story about Oshun, about this village of women who was at war.
Well, I think
all the other reaches that symbolize even Sango, Ogun, they came to Earth to try and stop the war between the village of women. But none of them could stop this war. So Oshun asked God to let her come and stop the war. And so God said to the other Orishas who was laughing, no, we'll send Oshun. Let Oshun go. And let Oshun come. And the war is raging in the village.
And
as she approached the village, she starts singing. She starts dancing. She starts playing her musical instruments. She creates harmony. She creates balance. She shows love to the other. She brings rhythm. And the women listen and they start fighting. And they came out of the village to meet Oshun. And they started dancing. And they started singing. And they had harmony. And they form a unity. And so the war of women ended. And it was the beauty of Oshun that led to the ending of that war. And of course there's our great God, Shango, the God of lightning, fire, and thunder, a kingly symbol. A courageous symbol, a virtual symbol, a symbol of magnetism, symbolized by the king with the great axe. And we know the story of Shango is both courageous and it's sad. And he's said to be one of the great Olathans who became an Orisha after death because of the type of life he lived. But again, we're still talking about symbolism. So what is the symbol here?
The political history of New York.
My purpose tonight, the symbol is to talk about the courage to change yourself. Because remember, he put two of his comrades, or we could some say brothers, in prison, and then he had them fight each other until to the death. But in his guilt, you know, he ran away into the forest and he hanged himself. And you know, the term "the king is not dead" comes about from that. But Oya would find him in the forest, and there's more to the ritual. But what we're talking about is the courage within each human being to change themselves. That is one of the aspects of what we mean by Shango. The courage within each human being to change themselves for the better. And so when we see Shango, we think of the next person, Oya, who they refer to as the Tempest. or the guardian of the cemetery, or the winds of change. Right. I tend to call her the guardian to the realm of the ancestors' wisdom.
I enjoyed it.
And she represents change in process.
We both
so this Orisha Oyang
right.
will marry the Orisha Shango.
Well,
it was your
courage to change itself.
My dad
marries change in process. Will marry the winds of change. And then the winds of change will also marry Ogun, Orisha of Iron, the creator of civilization. Which represents transformation in the human character.
Yeah.
So the need to change marries change, and change marries transformation, which comes as a result of change.
And I came back,
and
I said, look,
when we look at those Orishas, we're not just looking at photographs of human beings, because none of these are photographs of any human beings that lived back then, because nobody had a camera then. And nobody drew pictures of them and send them to us. These are modern-day people's concepts of ideas and principles that would be symbolically represented by these pictures of what our ancestors was talking about.
So
when we look at Osain or Osanian, the African god of the forest, the natural healer, the guardian of herbalism, we talk about pharmacology. We're talking about medicine.
Shut it off.
We're talking about Aesculapius, the great Imhotep. So we're trying to use a man in the forest, knowing the herbs, knowing the fauna, knowing the leaves, knowing the berries, knowing what can heal, knowing what can help one to get better or stronger. That science, that institution of pharmacology is what we're calling those things. And when we understand this, then we'll understand why when they present the ancestors in the form we're looking at now as the Agungun, they don't show faces. They keep the mystery there. Now we know under those clothing, and I know there will be those who dispute me, are living human beings, priests and priestesses. But they come to us as a symbol of our ancestors who are not only in the grounds or in the environment, but these ancestors are in us. Each ancestor that we have